The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And just a reminder for you, firstly, pardon my ignorance, welcome back to the programme. Good morning if you've just tuned in. It's good to have you on board. You missed a very interesting, I hope it was a very interesting first hour to the show. Frustrating because we're talking about stuff, but not necessarily fixing it, but maybe we will in the long game. But you can always watch back or listen back, by the way, on YouTube or on our website. And just to remind those of you who wish to watch the programme, to save watching, whatever nonsense is on the telly at the moment, we've got better nonsense for you. Go into the YouTube app on your smart TV or your Fire Stick or Facebook Watch and type in Highland Radio. Watch us live there and get involved in the conversation. Listening to your programme on the Micah scandal, Greg, surely the government and ministers are appointed to look after the 26 counties, not just an area in Dublin. And this should not come down to what voices are at the cabinet table, as per what Lisa Chambers said. That comes in from Noreen. Good morning, Greg. It's about time we had sunset clauses for civil servants. These are unelected people running our country. How is it allowed to happen? Another equality for Micah homes means rebuild 10 homes in Dublin, then rebuild 10 homes in Donegal. Some Micah homes in the south have been excluded from the scheme. This is wrong. Any home on Irish soil with Micah should be included. We need balance of equality. Good morning, Greg. It's heartbreaking that a child has been killed by what has been termed a jealous dog. When are people going to learn that dogs are animals which should be kept outside and not inside the house? That slipped in, sorry, it's just on a separate issue. Congrats to Councillor Ian McGarvey on his retirement after 20 years of public service, but the decision to hand on his council seat to his nephew smacks of the usual nepotism and undemocratic Donegal dynasty politics akin to the politics of a banana republic. Any elected rep who stands down must be replaced by a rep elected by voters, not appointed or anointed by a family member. That's true democracy. I don't think, just given the amount of councillors there are around the country, I don't think another election to replace outgoing councillors, I'm not sure that's practical. Again, not contradicting you, by the way. That's just my hot take on it. Whomever is co-opted onto the council eventually does have to stand in front of the public. But I take your point. I'm not saying you're wrong in any way. Just throwing that out there just to see what other people think. Hi, Greg. Not to make light of it, but is there mica on the roads too? Because after 1 week of snow, they fall apart, potholes everywhere. Or are we just getting cheap tar? Draw that line on a map from Dublin to Galway. The government don't care about anything above the line. Health, infrastructure, public transport, and again, the families that are most in need. Bring the government down. Another great cop-out, Lisa. Blame the civil servants. Why do we need highly paid ministers, etc., if the civil servants are in charge? Well, what we're going to have, though, if this is going to become a norm of political conversation, right? If there's a big jobs announcement, politicians, you can stay at home, send out the civil servants to welcome the jobs announcement. If a new hospital is being built, Stephen Donnelly, you stay at home, let's bring the civil servants out for the photo opportunity. If the sod's being turned on a new project or a new road's being opened, Eamon Ryan, not that he wants to open any roads, you stay at home or go out in your raha for a scotch, let the civil servants cut the tape. Because if politicians are now going to start lumping some of the blame at civil servants, well, they're going to have to start giving them some of the credit too, aren't they? You know, horses for courses or whatever the saying is. Hi, Greg. Thank you so much for voicing the cross-border issue yesterday on the radio. Could you ask today's guests their opinion on it, please? I very much appreciate the airtime you've given this issue. Just saw that now. It's very specific, though. You know, it's really specific. And I'm not for 1 second questioning that my guests wouldn't have an opinion on it. But it's very technical. Even as it's being explained, you sort of start to realise how technical an issue it is. I understand that Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue may have managed to squeeze us into his diary, so hopefully we'll be speaking to him before 11. So if you were thinking of tuning out, do not. How many affected apartments in Dublin are owned by the Vulture Funds? Considerable. How many affected apartments in Dublin are owned by politicians? Well, we know of one. He just happens to be the Taoiseach. The extended deadline for two facilitators passed over a week ago. Has anyone applied for the roles? Are they still going ahead? That's as it relates to the defective concrete scandal. The government made this decision because 40 or 50 of the apartments in the county are owned by vulture funds, foreign investors and pension funds who have power to influence individual ministers in the government and have the power and money to take action through the courts. You know what? Maybe it would be more palatable then if they said that this is part of a back scratching exercise. I'm not saying it is, but if that's the case, you know, maybe we could, it'd be easier to accept it because at least there'd be some honesty rather than us being made feel silly. Right, okay. Now, Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Craig.
What do you think should happen? My microphone's fallen out here. What do you think should happen next as it relates to the defective concrete scandal?
Well, I think the first thing that should happen is we're all aware now that the politicians in Donegal, or the public representatives in Donegal, have let the people of Donegal down. I think it's in the hands now of the people of Donegal and the other counties that are affected along the Western Seaboard, all of them to resign in bloc and force the government into a general election. People are aware, they haven't, you know, the people are aware now exactly what's happened in Dublin. It's to appease the money people in Dublin that's paying off the politicians, and that's exactly what has happened. I'm not casting any aspersion on any politician in Donegal. I don't know that, but they have failed the Donegal people. Now, Charlie McConnell-Lowe's coming on now at 11 o'clock. Now, Charlie McConnell-Lowe's a government minister and he knew exactly what has been happening. I'm just holding my breath to see what he's going to come up with, as well as the other people in Donegal, what he's going to come up with. He knew exactly what was happening and he has kept quiet. And he's not only dishonoured himself, he's dishonoured the people of Donegal for thinking that we're that stupid, and we're not. I think the people in Donegal should en masse now show mass protest within Donegal, Mayo, and along the Western Seaboard and force these band of criminals out of Ireland.
Man, I don't know who you're referring to there, but we can't refer to people en masse as criminals. But I understand your frustration, and I think I understand the wider point. But as I say, I don't know who you might be speaking of there, and we don't need to get into specifics. But you believe then that this is the straw, that enough is enough?
If this isn't the straw that has broke the camel's back, the people in Donegal and along the Western Seaboard that have been affected by MICA should stop campaigning today and forget all about it, for the simple reason why they're not listening. They're not listening to the peaceful protest. They're not listening to the people of Donegal. They're not listening to the families that are affected by MICA. You know, and as well as that, the county councillors as well, they're as responsible for this as anybody else. They have been in power now. There's councillors there have been there 10, 15, 20 years, and they've been councillors.
But can they do anything, Michael, councillors, in fairness? I mean, I don't think there's any one of them that hasn't backed the campaign.
No, they can do absolutely nothing. It's pointless having them there. What is the point in having councillors there, 31, 32 councillors in Donegal?
37,
I think. Yeah. And what's the point in having them there if they can do nothing for their constituents in Donegal? Now, there's an awful lot of people, when they heard this scheme that was announced there during the week about the apartments in Dublin getting the full 100% readdress. And, it was always in Donegal a full 100% readdress, but it never was going to be that. So they buckled it down to 90-10. Look, we've all got members of our families that have been affected by MICA, and there's some of them will never, ever, ever be able to build their houses again. Mm-hmm. Never. You know, and that's going to be...
Do you know what's going to happen? Do you know what's going to happen, though, in Donegal and probably elsewhere, and maybe it's already happened, Michael? There's going to be a small band of people. Now, hear me out. This is not... You can say I'm wrong. It's for conversation. There's going to be a small band of people like you that say, right, enough is enough, we need to take to the streets. I think it'll be relatively small in number. Then we're going to have a group of people that will vote along party lines consistently anyway, no matter what happens. They're not going to switch necessarily from Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael or Labour to Sinn Féin. And that's that one group. And then I think the over 50% group, 55% of people, are shrugging their shoulders and just say, this is just the way it is. What's the point? I'm not even going to vote. There's no point anymore. The whole thing is a farce. We're forgotten here. I'm not even going to waste my time going to the local national school to cast a vote. And there's no point protesting because they don't listen anyway. I think the problem here is the majority in Donegal now is going to be apathetic people. People that don't care anymore. Well, they don't think there's any point in any of it.
Oh, but there's a lot of people, I understand, there's a lot of people thinking that way and they're disillusioned. I'll tell you, you know, the people that's not affected by MICA are disillusioned. How are the people that are affected, how do they feel? I think, you know, they go into Dublin, and marching up and down O'Connell Street, and I was there. Take it from me, I was there. I was at a few of the protests, and I've been there and supported members of my family that have got to Mica. And but the time has come for it to start at the very, very bottom. You know, there's nobody, and there will be never nobody probably held responsible for this. And it starts with the Donegal County Council. It starts with the planners and enforcement, and nobody has been held accountable. You know, the county council, you know, the councillors haven't held anybody responsible.
But even in the Dublin scheme, there's no accountability. I mean, you know, let's say whoever is responsible for these defects, they're not having to put their hand in their pocket. They're not going to have to fund this in any way, shape or form. There's no talk either of some sort of a levy or what have you. The way the Dublin announcement has been discussed and related to the public, how different it is to the, let's call it the Donegal announcement, it's blatant. It's so blatant. Michael, listen, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it and very well articulated. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, okay. Well, we'll see how inclined we are to protest tomorrow. The weather's clearing up tomorrow. The road should be pretty clear come 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Hopefully they are. There is a protest or a day of action or a demonstration outside Letterkenny. We spoke to Mary T. Sweeney, chair of the Letterkenny Hospital campaign last week, I believe it was, and Mary T. rejoins us on the programme now. As I say, you know, I suppose we'll see how angry we are or how motivated we are tomorrow, Mary T.
Well, Greg, can I just lend my voice of disgust to what's happening with the unfair allocation of funding where Donegal has been neglected again. But can I ask as well that people considering changing tactics in the Mica campaign, and they don't care about family homes, so why not look at the structures that have been built that are public structures? The building that deals with the housing for Lifford for Donegal County Council is riddled with Mica, and the corners are all cracked and open when I was in Lifford at the last day of action. What about our hospital that has had a huge new construction there in the last 20 years? I wonder, is that safe? Perhaps we should start looking at these public service schools and hospitals and seeing if they care about those, and identifying and putting labels outside the buildings and saying, my home has Mica. People are still buying property in Letterkenny that don't realise the houses have Mica.
Well, I'm really troubled by houses being sold in Donegal that have Mica and it's not stated on the advertisement. I am familiar with three cases of that. It has to be proven, so it's not very easy to talk about specifics on a radio show because you have to be very clear because there's people involved in the sale, the selling of that. But that's hard to believe that's what's going on, that some people's forever home, they're actually going to end up inheriting this nightmare, because I find it hard to believe if someone who has Mica doesn't know they have Mica, and I find it hard to believe an estate agent wouldn't know a house has Mica. But anyway, listen, your point's noted as it relates to sharing the frustration and anger and the suggestion as it relates to a branch of the campaign, if not a redirection of it. But our focus for the next little while, Mary T, is going to be on the day of action at Letterkenny University Hospital tomorrow at 1 p.m. I mean, I don't know if the size of the turnout really... It doesn't really matter, does it? If it's about who can squeeze the time out of the day to get out. I don't know.
Let's start positive, Greg. Let's call the people out. Let's implore them to give their dinner hour for 1 hour tomorrow from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. We've invited all our councillors, all our politicians. It's up to them if they wish to come. We've invited the deputies. Please come along if you're interested, because at the moment the crisis is going from worse to worse. The staff are under significant pressure, and there's nobody speaking up. The reality is, if you go into the hospital with a clipboard, you could spend a full 48 hours finding out really what needs to be fixed. But there's nobody listening to the staff. We have got to say to ourselves, how much more can we take? The HSE is not working. Their system is not working. The internal people I'm talking to said the Northwestern Health Board, when it operated, you could lift the phone when there was a problem and you got somebody that you knew at the end of the phone. Now with the HSE, it's ubiquitous. You don't know who's who. There's so many jobs for the boys in the middle of all this. We need to stop it and have a bit of sense and start looking at the number of staff we're losing, the skill set that we're losing. We need to say to our nurses that we're told, yeah, there's definitely jobs for you here. and there's not jobs for them there, yet we need them there.
So are you saying tomorrow's demonstration is as much about supporting the staff and their working conditions as it is protesting the general state of the health service?
Greg, if you don't have a good team, we can't have a good service. It really is our hospital, and we really need to take control and stand up and say, I can't have any more people sitting in an ambulance for 12 hours and another ambulance has to come along and take that patient and let one service go home. Ambulances are sitting queued at the door. People, elderly people, sick people sitting 24 hours. There's multitude of stories coming into me. I'm sure you know most of them. But people, you're invited to come tomorrow if you need a forum to explain your story. Mental health is in crisis. The A&E department is in crisis. We need to rethink the whole structure. Mm-hmm. And not to just throw money at something that is formed wrong.
Right, and as you said the last time, there's no political banners at this. This is
none. But bring your message if it's a health service, if it's the children's services, if it's mental health, if it's just the A&E waiting time, if it's just support the nurses and doctors. You know, I understand we've lost a number of excellent consultants in the last couple of years because of the pressures, and people are not being listened to in the services inside the hospital, and they must be listened to.
Right, okay.
Order management needs to be reformed. It's obviously not working. Let's restructure it. Let's get the people working at every level in there to the board of management that they're given authority to make changes on the ground in Letterkenny Hospital to suit and support our community, our team in the hospital, and the potential patients from around Donegal.
Right, so you're asking for an hour from people tomorrow between 1 and 2 at Letterkenny University Hospital to support the staff and to protest the state of the health service. And if you want to bring a placard or something, it's an apolitical protest, Mary T assures us. But if you want to bring a placard to support the nurses or what have you, then you're welcome to do so. Right, we shall see, Mary T. Thanks for your time again this morning.
And I would appreciate you asking Charlie McConnell when he comes on. He's been invited. Let him come and speak. Let the other deputies come and speak and say what they're going to do. Mm. We have a Northwest Regional Health Forum. Our representatives are sitting on it. Our councillors are on it. Why have they not been given the power to make changes?
Are there speeches tomorrow, Mary T? Are there speeches?
They are. Some
who's
of them
speaking?
Are coming. They have identified they're coming. So hopefully we will hear them.
Who's speaking?
At the moment, I know Jerry McMonagle has been, he's the chair of the Northwest Regional Forum, Health Forum. I understand he has identified that he's coming. And Betty Holmes from the Cancer Action Group is coming. And other councillors have contacted me to say that they're coming.
Right, Mary T, thank you very much for your time. Take care of yourself. Mary T Sweeney, chair of the Letterkenny Hospital Campaign. Okie doke, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Right, we're still waiting for response from the Road Safety Authority to a couple of issues we raised with them yesterday. One being someone who was due to go and sit their theory test. They couldn't safely do so because of the snow and ice. But they were told that if they didn't turn up, they'd have to forfeit their fee because Met Aaron hadn't issued a red weather warning. Road Safety Authority saying, if you don't want to lose your money, get out on those dangerous roads. Secondly, we spoke to a gentleman who couldn't go to get his second NCT test because his van failed the first time because the roads were too dangerous, and he now is facing into paying for a full retest as a result. Again, there would have been a bit of lenience if there was a red weather warning, so there's certainly a lack of subtlety there. Right, okay. We're having some success in some areas of that, so I'll update you on that because Caroline's been working away in the background. But anyway, those are the two issues. Right, so let's talk to Susan Gray now, founding member of PARC. Good morning to you, Susan. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, now, talking about NCT tests, what we're seeing at the moment is that people are trying to book their tests and getting dates months in advance. Are you saying that if that is the case, then that test should be free?
Well, we looked at the customer charter and the NCT website, and it said that drivers that can't be offered an NCT appointment within 28 days will be provided with a free test. No drivers have been given a free test. We put the information up on Twitter and Facebook, and RT picked up on it. They contacted us last week and they raised the question with the Road Safety Authority, asking them how many people have been given a free test. that due to the fact that RSA couldn't provide a test within 21 days. They asked for figures for 2022, last year. The reply came back, zero free tests were given out.
But Susan, so, I mean, if that is the case, and we've no reason to doubt it, and their charter does state that, that means there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of euro owed to Irish motorists because this money was taken off them in bad faith.
Well, James O'Connor, TD for Fianna Fáil, picked up on us. He was interviewed by RT along with ourselves last Sunday. And on Wednesday, the Dáil resumed. The Eurectus Transport Committee, which James is a member of, they had a meeting and they decided it was such a serious issue that they would have to invite the RSA in next Wednesday to explain why people were not getting the free tests. We've just been told that the RSA has declined the offer to attend. This is such a serious issue.
It really is. How can they refuse to attend?
They've declined Mr. O'Connor said on Drive Time yesterday. The RSA has, the Road Safety Authority has declined the request to attend the Eurectus Transport Committee next week to explain why drivers are being charged for NCT tests when they're waiting for over 28 days for the appointment, especially when the NCT charter states, and I've already told you what it stated. Now, I'm just lost for words, Greg, that they have declined. Now, Mr. O'Connor has urged them to attend the committee at some stage.
Do you think
it would appear, Greg, that the RSA is answerable to nobody.
Do you think they're fit for purpose anymore then without all of your dealings with them?
No. We had, over the years, our confidence and respect reduced greatly with the Road Safety Authority, especially after Gay Byrne, God rest his soul, and Noel Brett left the RSA.
Mm-hmm.
We worked so well with them and they called a spade a spade. Now the new Sam Wade in the RSA, he asked us for meetings over the past year. We didn't believe there was any point, but we agreed last February, just a year ago, to have a meeting.
Yes.
We asked him one question, Greg. We've so many outstanding issues. We asked him how many drivers have they got on their ghost file. The ghost file contains drivers where the Road Safety Authority and Transport cannot match a disqualified driver with their licensed driver number.
Mm.
And if they can't marry the person with the license 100%, they can't input that information onto the transport driver
file. Did you get that figure?
And that's, he said he would, no problem. He understood exactly what we're talking about. And he would get Michael Ronan and the RSA to send us information. We've received no information.
Right.
Now, we are continually advised, for a better word, not to be going to the media, not to be raising parliamentary questions.
Who advises you of that?
Well, it was suggested by the RSA and that to work directly with them to iron out any issues we have. We're back to raising parliamentary questions now through Catherine Murphy,
asked. They try and stifle and mute and cover up the voice of campaign groups. They refuse to go in front of Eurectus committees. It's quite the charge, isn't it?
Yes, and now Catherine Murphy's not getting replies to her PQs. We've asked through a PQ how many's in the ghost file, how many Irish license holders are on their ghost file. We've asked how many times if the RSA mismatched, that's a different issue, whereby they allocate a disqualification to a certain person but they have the wrong license number.
Okay.
So that person isn't disqualified.
Listen,
we asked them any mismatches. We're not getting information, Greg.
Right,
where
okay.
do we go from here?
Well, we'll stay in touch with you. We'll make our own inquiries with them. Thank you very much indeed, Susan Gray, founding member of Park there. Some more of your comments here. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael has two seats in Donegal. They don't care if they're lost because they're only interested in Dublin seats. By doing this repair job in the apartments, they'll pick up two seats in Dublin to make up for their losses in Donegal. Mike, issue was a problem created by Fianna Fáil with a lack of regulation. We now expect them to fix it. What was done this week is nothing short of scandalous. People of Donegal should not forget this come the next election. But as I say, what most people will do is not vote. Lest the people forget about how the government treatment of the people of Donegal and the West came the next election, we will remind them. Kind regards, Seamus Newtown Cunningham. I think maybe as we approach the next election, a big focus should be to try and encourage as many people as possible to vote. Now, not how they might vote. I'm not saying whether they should vote. Of course, I wouldn't say which parties or no parties, for that matter, they should vote. But we need to do something collectively, don't we, to take control so that we can say, right, 75% of us went out and this is what we believe. Maybe that would empower us then to stand up for ourselves a bit more. Now, we're very good at standing up for ourselves, as we saw with the big demonstration in Dublin. But you know what I mean. You know, like if 50-odd, what was the turnout for the last election? I believe it was in the mid-50s. Maybe I'm wrong. Because it's hard, I might be mixing up council and general, but I'll get the stats during the break. But, you know, like, so then you say, well, then how many people voted for which parties? And then you find that, you know what, 25% of people will have elected two Sinn Féin reps, or 35% of people have elected two government reps and an independent. Do you know what I mean? So 35% of the voting population. So we need to get more people voting. We all should be voting. Good morning, Minister Charlie McConnellogue, Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, OK. So, do you think... What was your emotions or feelings around the cabinet table when you heard this 100% redress scheme with, you know, money for people who'd already done repairs up to a certain standard to be made available to them? Everything that you perhaps were arguing around the ministerial table for your own constituency, what was your feelings on the day when this was greenlit and agreed by government? 2.5 billion, not a complaint to be had from anyone affected by these faults in these apartments. How did it make you feel?
Well, it's important that there is a scheme to support people who have who are living in multi-unit developments, apartments and duplexes, for example, who have either defective either water ingress or fire issues or mica or pyrite in those apartments to have them fixed. And it's really important as well, and the approach the government has taken is about being equitable and treating similarly the what has been provided really importantly in Donegal and Mayo and the other and in those four counties, but particularly our own county, that be actively treated with others as well. So, and really importantly, obviously, the MICA scheme doesn't apply to apartments or duplexes. So there was a gap there in our own county in relation to those who are living in apartments not having a scheme which would cover them. So This scheme now, which will apply all across the country, will mean that people in Donegal who are living in apartments will be able to get, and that have MICA, will be able to get their apartment fixed under this scheme.
Do you accept that this scheme announced during the week is a better scheme than the scheme that was announced for Donegal and other counties?
I think it's as similar as it possibly can be. I think the main distinction is in relation to the retrospective aspect. So,
well, it's also 100%, Minister, with respect. This scheme is 100% for Dublin.
So like with the MICA scheme, in relation to this particular now apartment scheme, it is to fix to the standard that would have been applying at the time. So if the apartment was built in 2002 or 2005, what the scheme does is it fixes and covers the cost of fixing it to what would have applied at the time the apartment was built. So it's the same principle that's there in relation to the MICA. The one significant difference, and it's a welcome one because it's one which I had fought for previously and one which I've now secured a commitment that will apply to MICA as well, is in relation to the retrospective aspect. So we had a number of properties, and many of which I would have dealt with when I was in opposition, who would have weren't able to wait for the scheme to come into place and had to go ahead and do their work. So now in relation to the apartment scheme that's come forward, there is the retrospective element to that. And at Cabinet on Wednesday, I secured the commitment that that will also apply in relation to MICA. So similar treatment in relation to the terms and conditions that will be applying to apartments for retrospective, but that will also be applied in relation to the MICA scheme. So that's an important and welcome step forward.
Is that out in the public domain?
Before the scheme was launched.
Are people aware of that, or have you just announced that, or is that... That the retrospective element of this will apply to defective concrete blocks?
Well, I think that the Taoiseach in the Dáil yesterday made a response outlining that, and I'm clarifying it to you here as well. Okay. That's something I secured and ensured was the case at Cabinet. So
how is it? Let me ask you though, Minister.
Just to finish.
Understood.
So the key principles here in relation to this defective scheme, and in fairness, lots of the work that was done in relation to securing, the terms and conditions that we have for the MICA scheme has been applied similarly now to the defective apartment scheme. And the one key difference, particular difference in relation to retrospection, thankfully now we also have that for the MICA scheme. So, yeah. But in terms of the government approach here, it is about ensuring that all of those who find themselves in, and which we know better than anyone in this county, very difficult circumstances in relation to having a home which is not what it was should have been, get the support in relation
Understood.
To actually having them fixed.
So you are satisfied, and this is your actual opinion, that the people of Donegal, let's just, because we're in Donegal, so we'll talk about Donegal. So you are of the belief, the actual opinion, you believe this, that the people of Donegal are being given equal treatment to the people under the apartment scheme. You will argue that this is equally fair to both sets of people.
Well, the apartment scheme, first of all, and this is really important, and I'm not sure anyone's really mentioning this, the scheme that went through Cabinet on Wednesday applies to Donegal as well.
No, you've said that already, but I'm asking you if you actually believe that the people of Donegal are being treated equally to primarily the people in Dublin under the apartment scheme. It's a simple question. Do you believe there's equality
the same principles that we all fought hard for to get in relation to the MICA scheme, Greg, those same principles now are informing the apartment scheme. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there is differences in relation to how the apartment schemes can be managed compared to individual homes. So the grant will go to the management company, which is instead of the homeowner.
Understood. So, but as you know, we don't really need to talk about the workings.
So in relation, the principle then is about fixing it to the standard it should have been at the time. So in relation to whenever the apartment was actually put in place, it's about fixing the defect that was there to the standard that should have been the standard whenever the apartment was built. So again, that's the same principle.
Okay. Now, in terms of the cost, In terms of the cost, right? Your constituencies, your neighbours, your friends, okay, cannot go on this scheme because they can't find 40 or 50,000 euro. There's older people who cannot go on this scheme because they can't get access to borrowing. There's young children in homes in your constituency, they're your neighbours and friends, okay, that can't get out of houses with black mould in them that's killing their children or seriously damaging their children's health over the long term. We have people that are no longer with us because they couldn't take the mental pressure of the situation they're in. That's the scheme that you're defending in Donegal. In Dublin primarily, they are getting, and some of them won't even have to worry about it because the management will worry about it, they're getting 100% redress.
I'm not sure if you've been listening to me there, Greg. The principle is the same. It's to fix it to the standard that would have been in place at the time the apartment was built, and likewise that's the principle that was established
in
relation to the MICA scheme.
What caps on it?
So obviously, when you come to apartment blocks, it's a different situation.
How is it?
Either all of it has to be done, or none of it has to be done. So, we're expecting maybe the estimate is maybe potentially 100,000 properties will have some level of defect. The average expected cost for the scheme is €25,000. But of course, the actual multi-unit developments which are likely to have the higher cost and have a higher cost than what that average would be of 25,000 is likely to be those that either have mica or pyrite, because the level of damage, obviously, as we know, in mica
and pyrite, is there a cap on that?
Is way more. So potentially, for example, you could have to demolish a multi-unit apartment block, and it's in those instances where you'd actually have where the biggest cost would be incurred.
Yeah, but what's the cap on? What is the cap on it? What's the cap on the scheme?
The thing was that, let's say if an apartment block has mica, and it really only be in the case of mica or pyrite this would happen. If the apartment block has mica and it's so bad that it can't be, that it's not possible to be remediated, then it would have to be actually tossed and rebuilt. So either you do that or either you don't do that.
Okay.
There's no half rebuilding an apartment block.
Yeah.
And the
That's
only
the same with the house in Donegal. So where is the cap?
Where is the cap on this?
Department block owners.
If there's a multi-unit, I mean, and as I say, this would be specifically, in my view, the only circumstance I see this is really for its mica or pyrite.
Mm.
So if it's for its mica or pyrite, if there's an apartment block that has to be, or a multi-unit complex which has to be demolished in Donegal, I want to see it rebuilt. I don't want to see it in a situation where there's a cap there, which would mean that all of those units wouldn't
be
able to be done.
Where is the cap? So you think it's okay, right? That this everyone here has been wrong the same way. A lack of regulation, lack of oversight, lack of enforcement, all as a responsibility of local authorities, the government, none of it, right? Why are some people in this country, the closer they live to Leo Varadkar and the rest of them, why are they getting their apartments fixed retrospectively? And why then are people in Donegal, backyard, not able to get their houses fixed?
In Dublin, The defects seem to be primarily fire defects or water ingress, so they're fixable. The average cost is expected to be €25,000.
Why do you keep mentioning the cost, Minister?
Because I'm bringing it back to our own situation, because the scheme also covers mica or pyrite. And in that instance, obviously, you could have to have a whole apartment block demolished, or a multi-unit or duplexes in Donegal, for example, demolished if it has mica. So therefore, it's important that actually, and I think it would be rare to see, for me to argue against actually, or to argue in favor of putting a cap in place, which would mean
we want you to argue to get rid of the cap up here.
This scheme actually covers mica and pyrite homes properly, so that any apartments or any duplexes we have in Donegal, that they're fully fixed under this scheme, because the current mica scheme doesn't apply where it's multi-unit.
So you're standing over this government decision, you back this government decision, you think it's equal to the people primarily of Dublin, the vulture funds, the foreign investors, you think this is fair? You think the people of Donegal will be...
As I've explained, Greg, it's the same principle.
So it's fair.
The one key change, which I welcome, I also secured that key change to apply to the mica scheme. Mm. So that that retrospective will also apply to the mica scheme. So listen, this
I just
is
want you to tell me, Minister. You know, I want you to tell me, please, rather than just referencing back to the principle, if you don't mind. If you don't want to, that's fine. I can't compel you to do anything. I'm just asking you to answer me this question. Do you believe that this is fair? Do you believe the people of Donegal are being treated the same as the people in Dublin primarily who own these apartment blocks? I'm just asking you if you think it's equal and if it's fair.
It's the same. The approach for the government is to be equitable in both situations.
And you believe they've achieved that?
The precedent that we set, and we fought hard, the homeowners fought hard, I fought hard at Cabinet, the precedent we set and established in relation to mica is now being applied as well in relation to the defective apartments. The one key progress we've made, which is really important, was the retrospective, and that's going to be, and the security cabinet, that will be applied to mica as well in the same way it is applied to the defective apartment blocks. So in relation to the defective apartment block, what will happen there now is primary legislation will have to be introduced over the course of this year to enable that, in the same way that we introduced legislation last July
Will there be pre-legislative scrutiny, do you think?
I would expect that you'll have a similar process to what happened in relation to
Michael. I'll clip this and we'll come back to that statement.
That'll be a matter for the Dáil to decide. But I suppose the key thing is a lot of the principles are established because of the mica scheme and the fact that legislation is in place. So the defective apartment blocks now are behind, obviously, a year and a half behind where the mica scheme was at, because that legislation will have to be introduced over the course of this year. It's expected to be the latter part of the year when the legislation comes through. So my key focus in the meantime now is making sure that we drive on and implement the MICA scheme.
Okay.
We've made real progress in that. Just let me finish, Greg, please. We've made real progress in that over the course of the autumn. I've been meeting on a monthly basis with the county council, with my own team of county councillors, to unlock the challenges that were there in relation to getting answers once again in applications. Thankfully, we're, over the last couple of months, we've been homeowners have been getting answers so that they can get engaged with contractors and get them employed. Also, now the regulations were provided to the local authorities just before Christmas for their feedback. That'll be provided then, following on from that, to homeowners for their feedback as well, to actually do the transition. And everybody who's currently progressing in the scheme will get the full benefit of those regulations and that increased costings whenever those regulations come into place. So, listen, I continue to work hard, and this is the number one priority for me, and we're making real progress, and equity is central. And as I say, in relation to the retrospective piece, which is the key difference, I secured that at Cabinet on Wednesday. That will apply to MICA as well.
All right. Thanks for your time this morning. Take care of yourself. That's Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnell-Logue.